This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير. Thank you for joining us. Night number 28 of this year's Ramadan. And subhanAllah, it's just tonight, and then tomorrow will be, of course, the 29th night. And then we may, if we are lucky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with the 30th day and the 30th night. If not, then subhanAllah, we are just two more nights left and two more days of fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everything that we have done, especially in these last 10 nights, as many people have increased and exerted themselves. And subhanAllah, usually what happens, the 27th night comes to a conclusion. Usually the masajid, you find the khatams happen on the 27th night, and you already have a sense that the Ramadan is coming to an end, and it's almost that the Eid mode begins. And we should just not be premature. This is one of the big mistakes that we make, is when we lose our focus after the 27th night, because we know that without a doubt that the 29th night, one of the odd nights, is a very, very big chance that it could also be Laylatul Qadr. We are still searching for it. There is a probability even that the 28th night or the 30th night could be Laylatul Qadr. Any of these 10 nights could be that of Laylatul Qadr. And even if Laylatul Qadr occurred already, passed, then these nights are used to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. That just the fact that we made the dua, we've made the ibadah on the night of Laylatul Qadr, means that it's there, but it still hasn't cleared. And it is through extra dua that Ya Allah accept from us. We see that when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba, he did the good deed, and then afterwards he said, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Oh Allah, now I need to make dua that you accept it. As some of the sahaba would say, that if I knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just accepted one of my good deeds and He will reward me for that, then I will sleep a happy man. And this younger sahaba said, why? And then he responded that he said that if Allah accepts one of your good deeds and you get rewarded for it, then you know you're going to Jannah. Because Allah says He only accepts the good deeds from people that are good. And so for us, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever we've done of good throughout this month of fasting, of standing, of reciting Quran, of charity, whatever it might have been of good, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it and multiply it, that when we see it on the day of Qiyamah, then it is far more than what we ever anticipated. The reward will far exceed our expectations, because that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards. And so we should continue the focus. Remember, it is about consistency, and it's about how we end the month. The month is not over, so end off on a high. Don't end off becoming prematurely into that Eid mode. Eid will come, and so now it's about focused until the end, until that moon is sighted. We are going to continue working hard, bi-idhnillah. We continue with our tafsir of Surah Al-Mulk, and subhanAllah, this is a recap. This is the last session of Surah Al-Mulk. We'll be concluding with the Surah this evening. And so far, if we break the Surah down, we've mentioned how the Surah begins speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being all blessed and all merciful, and that He controls all of creation, and He does this. He exerts His influence and His control with kindness, that He has made the universe perfect, that wherever we look in nature, in the heavens, in the earth, in deep in the oceans, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the creation perfectly, and it's in balance and in complete equilibrium. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on this earth and made the earth soft for us. He's made the heavens amenable to us, that we are able to enjoy the bounties of Allah for a reason. There is a test that Allah will test us with life and with death, and then we will go on to the next life where we will answer for how we spend our time on here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in some very beautiful ayat mentioned, is not the one who created you best at knowing what you want, that He's al-latif, that He's constantly in our life. He is very aware of what's happening in our life, that He has provided us blessings all around us. Many times we don't appreciate, we don't even acknowledge, we are not aware of all the blessings Allah has given us. Only sometimes when a blessing is taken from us do we realize, Ya Allah, for my whole life I've never ever given thanks for this one blessing, that now that it's gone, I feel it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us how ungrateful, very few people are grateful to Him and to His blessings. And He says in some of this beautiful ayat that He is jundul lakum, that He, Ar-Rahman, is your army. He is with you whenever you need Him. Whenever there is difficulty in your life, Ar-Rahman is there for you. So why do you turn away from Him? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that He created us on this earth, and He dispersed us, and to Him is the return. And that there are two people, those who live walking upright and aware of His blessings, and they try their best. They try their best to be on the path of righteousness. And then there are those who don't care, who just live for the day and completely in ghurur, in delusions. And what will be their destination? Someone walking, not looking, and he walks in the road. We know, subhanAllah, he will meet with an accident. And so surely Qiyamah is coming. Allah is reminding us. And so we need to focus. Now the last few ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, kul, give them a message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله من معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم. This is a very unique ayah. This is an ayah that you won't find anywhere else in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, if Allah should so will, if it was the will of Allah, that he should ahlakani, that he should cause me to die, he should like, ahlakani can even mean destroy me, but it means if Allah should cause me to die, if Allah should cause Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to die, wa man ma'ya, and those who are with me, meaning the Sahaba with me, aw rahimana, or if Allah should will us good, or if Allah should put the rahmah on us, faman yujiru kafirina min adhabin alim, then who would save the kuffar from the punishment that is severe? What is this ayah trying to say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding all of us that even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and even the Sahaba, even those pious of people, they have no control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he's only a slave and a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he lives, when he dies, what comes to him of blessings, what is taken from him of blessings, is only in the hand of Allah. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I am like you, I'm in the same boat. All of us have to go to Allah and answer Him what we've done on this earth. And that whether He causes us to die or He blesses us and He gives us life, then it is all in Allah's prerogative. We also realize that this ayah, one of the themes of the surah, Allah mentioned the beginning of this, that He created death and life, and here death is being mentioned again, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that even I am going to die, that I don't know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take my soul. And so in many ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and we did not make for any human beings, we didn't give any single person eternity. That there is not a single person that Allah said, He had decreed for him eternal life. And so Allah says, if you, O Muhammad, are going to die, even you will taste death, even you will go through this difficulty, which is not nice, then do they think that they will live forever? Does anyone else think that they will be exempted? And Allah says to us, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. So if he were to die or he's killed, would you turn back on your heels? Would you leave this religion? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that the purpose of life is that it remains, whether Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there or he's not there. Whether his message is what remains for eternity. His message of Islam, of submitting to Allah and the Quran, is for all eternity. And so therefore, for us, this is very powerful for us, because we live never having seen the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never having interacted with him, but his sunnah and the revelation that he came with remains with us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so he's saying, and the ayah is saying in the Quran, then the punishment of Allah and the repercussions of your life continues, whether Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there or not. You and every single person has to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gave his first public sermon, he said, I cannot save anyone from the fire of Jahannam. I can't do anything to protect you. Even Fatima, he looked at his daughter and he said, O Fatima, O daughter of Muhammad, I am not able to save you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single person has his own account to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Allah make it easy for us. There's a beautiful hadith about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to his Sahaba, Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reports this. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how I long to meet my brothers. I look so forward to meeting my brothers. And so the Sahaba were quite surprised and they said, are we not your brothers, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, rather you are my companions, you are my ashab, you are my Sahaba, but my brothers are those people, and of course my brothers and sisters, it means here together, those who believe in me, yet they have never seen me. And I am looking forward to meet them. And so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very excited to meet us. He's made aware. He was told that your religion, your deen, and your message will reach to the east of the earth and the west of the earth. And many millions of people will follow you. And even though majority of this ummah, the billions of us, has never seen the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hasn't seen us. And that meeting on the day of Qiyamah will be the first time we meet him. And so subhanAllah, while the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, cannot prevent the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His intercession will assist us. And that is why the best that we can do is to follow His sunnah and to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are amongst His people on the day of Qiyamah when He makes dua for that intercession. We continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, so this ayah is quite a severe ayah, saying that even if Allah wishes to kill the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or to give mercy upon him, there's nothing that anyone can do. The power is solely in the hands of Allah. Then Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَانُ آمَنَّ بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. But then also say, He is Ar-Rahman. That no matter what, we know that anything is possible. Any calamity can befall us. This entire surah was about how calamities can befall you, how any blessing can be turned against you. But then at the end of the surah, this is how the surah ends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say He is Ar-Rahman. Then we still have faith above all else, above our fear, above our worries, above, you know, the disease that is around us. Anything can happen, yes. But above our fears is our hope that there is, that He is Ar-Rahman. That when Allah deals with us, He does not deal in a way to cause harm. He does it with mercy. He is Ar-Rahman. Amanna bihi. That we put our faith in Him. We believe in Him. Wa alayhi tawakkalna. And we put our trust in Him. That everything that we have, we as believers, the believers, feel secure. That if we do our part, we, you know, worship Allah, we fulfill our obligations to Allah, then everything in our life will be right. It doesn't mean that a believer doesn't go through hardship. It doesn't mean that if you are a sincere believer, that Allah is not going to send calamities upon you. Even the Anbiya, who were the most perfect of people, all of them went through very, very difficult calamities. But these things that Allah had given to them, it came from a place of love, and it came from a place of perfection, and a test, of course. And so the Sahaba, when they asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, even if the believers, you know, calamities come, you know, happen to us, how do we know if sickness or hardship or the loss of life and wealth, how do I know if this is Allah punishing me, or if this is Allah testing me, or is this actually a blessing from Allah trying to perfect me, or how do I understand it? And so he said very beautifully that if any hardship comes to us, and it brings us closer to Allah, it makes us more aware of Allah, then that was actually a blessing in disguise. And that Allah sometimes takes away a mercy. Now, many times we realize it's not Allah punishing us. He just took away that which He gave us. And that's why the dua, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, reminds us. It is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing. He just takes away that which was on loan. When we lose a loved one, when we lose our health, when we lose our wealth, Allah had given this to us, and now He's taking it back. And it belonged to Him from the beginning, and so it is now time that He takes it back, and we cannot, you know, we cannot have any say in the schedule of Allah. But when He takes it back, we believe that it was for a reason, that this blessing, if it remained with us a bit longer, it would have caused us harm. That is what tawakkal means. Tawakkal means we put full dependency in Allah. We are in Your hands, Allah. As the beginning of the surah, that biyadihi al-mulk, that all of creation is in His hands. That when you look, and look, Allah says, look at the creation. The creation, besides insan, they trust in Allah. And they do as Allah had commanded. And so you don't see any tafawut. You don't see any problems in the creation. You don't see any chaos. So put yourself in Allah's hands. He is Ar-Rahman. Put your trust in Him. When there's something comes before you and you know, look, this thing looks good, but it's haram, avoid it. It was not good for you. That if I can cut a corner here, or I can score something there, if something I can do, but this is not going to please Allah, then avoid it. In the short term, there might be a gain, but in the long term, it will be to my detriment. So we put our tawakkal on Allah completely. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضُلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And so Allah says, and then we will know who are those who are in clear misguidance, meaning those who don't put their trust in Allah. They will come to see the consequences of their actions. In this dunya, you don't have to wait in the akhirah to see the consequences of your actions. That if you turn away and you don't put your trust in Allah. And subhanAllah, how true is this now when we face with a global pandemic, when our lives are become so uncertain, we don't know if we will have a job, we don't know who will become sick, who will die, no one knows. And subhanAllah, we never knew those things. Those things were already not known. It was just we falsely believed that we knew. We falsely felt secure. Now the reality is made apparent to us. And the only thing we can do, whether we feel upset, we feel sad, we feel angry, we feel anxious, those things don't make a difference. The only thing that makes a difference is to say, Ya Allah, You are the only one I can put my faith in and my trust in. There's none in the heavens and the earth that can harm me or benefit me except by You. And so we put our trust in You. You are Rahman. You are the most merciful. Whatever you do with love and with kindness and mercy. And so I put my trust in You. Whatever path it is that You have put me on, we accept it and we obey. And we will only do that which pleases You. And we know in the end, either in this dunya and in the akhirah, definitely in the dunya and in the akhirah, we will come to know what was going to be the right course of action. The last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, Kul ara'aytum, say, have you considered, in asbaha ma'ukum ghawra, faman ya'tikum bima'in ma'in, that have you considered if Allah were to cause you to lose your water, if your water were to sink into the ground, who would bring it back, basically besides Allah? Who would be able to bring it back other than Allah? And so, this ayah is a conclusion of the entire surah, reminding us that water, of course, is the most important thing for life. That if any blessing that can be taken away, the last thing that should be taken away is your water, because this basically means your life is taken away. Water is also, it denotes in the Quran, guidance. And it could mean the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So remember the Sahab, the previous ayah, it said that if I should die, and this is what the kuffar wanted, they put all their hatred and their anger upon him. That, you know what, Ya Muhammad, if you were gone, all our problems will be solved. And he says to them that if I go, doesn't mean that your punishment with Allah is going to go. That doesn't mean you're going to avoid Qiyamah. That all those things are still going to come. And so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is saying that if I were to take your water, your physical water, or your spiritual water, the Quran, take away Islam from you, then who will bring it back? And this for us as believers, when we think about it, when our dunya becomes, you know, unsettled, and we worried, Ya Allah, my risk, my health, my parents, my kids, my own, you know, well-being, you worried about that, then you realize there's a bigger concern, that if Allah were to take away our guidance, if Allah were to take away our iman, if Allah were to take himself away from us, out of our life, then what would we have besides him? Then where would we be without that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how difficult life is, the fact that you are still saying the kalima la ilaha illallah, the fact that you are fasting, and only subhanallah 1%, 2% of this country is fasted this month of Ramadan, has spent the night in salah. How many of us have given thanks that he has allowed us to worship him and to make us to be on that path? And we pray that we are on that path. Ameen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again reminding us how many favors that he's given us all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that which he has given us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us to be grateful for that which he has given us, and grant us to fulfill the duties to put this into practice in our life. So with this is the concluding verse of Surah Al-Mulk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me for any shortcomings in it. We will never do justice to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe some final closing thoughts on Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Yasin. As we've been through this month, we've had the opportunity to go through these two chapters. So firstly, on Surah Al-Mulk, we know that Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, it is a protection from the punishment of the grave. And so one of the things that we can link up, and number one, it's the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so, and it was his practice, and so we believe it. Is there anything from the surah that links up to the punishment of the grave? In fact, we don't speak, the grave isn't mentioned much in this chapter, but death is being mentioned. And it began that he created death and life. And also, if you look at throughout the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's beautiful about the surah is he mentions the danger that the earth could do this to you, the sky could do this to you, your water could disappear, bad things can happen to you. Then at the same time, he says, on the other hand, none of these things happen. When last did the earth swallow you up? When last did the sky rain down on you? When last did, you know, subhanAllah, when we had the drought, we felt that, you know, our water can be restricted, but then Allah gave it back. It was an inconvenience rather than a destruction. And now we're going through another thing, you know, this COVID-19 disease. Allah says, these bad things can happen, but it hardly ever happens. And so it means the counter to it is that he's Ar-Rahman, constantly working in your favor, constantly protecting you. And so this surah is about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights all the dangers around you, and none of those dangers actually hit you, meaning that he has constantly been in your life protecting you. And so the most vulnerable we would be, of course, is when we die. And when we enter the qabr, now that protection is gone. Now there's no more protection anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either you've earned the mercy in the dunya, now in the qabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you did not turn to him in the dunya, then that protection is gone. And so then this surah, this chapter, is that chapter that if you've recited it, then it will come, that protection will continue through the qabr and even into qiyamah. The one hadith even beautifully said that Suratul Mulk will intercede with you every stage of the way, in the qabr, on qiyamah, at the questioning, until you enter Jannah, it will be your partner. So as you kept Suratul Mulk, Surah Tabarak, with you every single day in the dunya, you were friends with him. Now when you get to the akhirah, he will only leave your side when he sees you enter Jannah. Ma'as-salama, now you are safe into Jannah. Now he can leave you. SubhanAllah. What a beautiful link between the surah and the way we and us. SubhanAllah. Now we also on our final words on Surah Yasin and Surah Al-Mulk. We said both these surahs were revealed in the Makkan period, and there's a lot of similarities in them. For example, you would not find a single, there's no ayah in any of these surahs that mentions paying zakah or fasting or making salah. There is no physical requirements that these surahs bring forward. We know that also both these surahs have a special kind of link, not only because, and that's maybe why we recite them, we should recite them part of our daily routine, there's a lot of benefits in them. We find that Surah Yasin, for example, it is mentioned that it forgives you sins if you recite it every single day. It makes hardship whenever you go through a difficulty, and the Sahaba would recite it, they would find ease in it. The one protects you from the punishment of the grave, that is Surah Al-Mulk, and the one protects you from the from a difficult death, that's Surah Yasin. The one intercedes with you until you enter into Jannah, that is of course Surah Al-Mulk. So these two surahs are both of them two different shields at different times and different points. And that is why it is part of the rituals that you do daily to recite it. And subhanAllah, we also learn from these two chapters and the whole Quran, in fact, that the Quran is your protector and is your weapon in all kinds of difficulty. And it's amazing if you think about it, and especially now as we come to the end of Ramadan, when we ask what is the most blessed month, it is the month of Ramadan. And when Allah speaks about it, He says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ أَلَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. What makes Ramadan holy is the Quran. If you ask what is the most blessed night of the year, we know it is Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. What made this night so special? It is the fact that the Quran was revealed on that. We ask what is the most blessed angel, well, the angel of Jibreel, and who brought the Quran down? Jibreel. Who is the best of the Anbiya? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam get that the other Anbiya did not get? He got the Quran. So whatever the Quran touches, it becomes the best month, the best person, the best angel. So the best house is the house that recites Quran. The best person is the person that continuously recites Quran. And so we see just two surahs, subhanAllah. These two surahs have such powerful effects, you know, on our well-being. And they're very short surahs. It probably take you 10 minutes to recite them both. What about the rest of the Quran and the blessings lying in every single ayah? And so we it is an encouragement to, as we leave the month of Ramadan, to continue reciting the Quran on a regular basis. Don't put the Quran back on the shelf and forget about it. This is the thing that will bring nur in our lives, nur in our house. It will protect us even in the qabr, in the darkness of the qabr. That's when this Quran will come in our most difficult times, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. We also know from these two surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the power Allah has, His majesty and His power. Everything is in His hands. So why do we worship anyone besides Him? Why? What need is there to worship anyone besides Him or to put dependence on anyone other than Him when biyadihi al-mulk, all of creation is in His hands. He does what He pleases. Everything that moves is by His will and His decree. There is no harm that can befall you except by His permission. And there is no blessing that can come to you except by Allah's permission. Both these surahs pointed out much of the perfection of the creation. And why does Allah highlight the creation? He highlights the creation to tell us that behind this creation, there is a designer and a creator. And it also goes to show that whatever is in submission to Allah, the sun, the moon, the planets, the earth, the heavens, all of it is in submission to Allah. And so therefore you find perfect, perfect harmony. That if you want harmony in your life, if you're feeling distressed, if you're feeling that your life has problems in it, then submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will make everything, He will fix everything in your life. And linked to that when you submit to Allah, there are so many benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in both these surahs, the name Ar-Rahman is repeated a lot. Ar-Rahman is the one that is constantly sending out His blessings and His mercies upon you. He's Al-Latif, He's Al-Khabir. He is the closest one to you. That the ones who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Himself intervenes in their life and He makes their life good in this world and in the next. And that He knows the deeper most secrets that we have, and He is always intertwined with us. We learn from this surah that we have a purpose, from these chapters, that there is a purpose to life, that just as everything in creation fulfills its function, our function is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the one that Allah very clearly says in Surah Al-Mulk, that He created death and life as a test, who is going to be the best in their deeds. This whole life, everything that comes to you, maybe some days things are good. You know, you get an unexpected blessing coming into your life. That is a blessing, but it's a test. Allah's gonna say, what are you gonna do with this? Then someday some calamity befalls you, may Allah protect us. And then it's also a test. What are you going to do? How do we navigate the challenges and the blessings of life? These things do not change the purpose. The ultimate test is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reaching Him in the akhirah, that is the test. To see who would do the best in their deeds. And so that is how you pass or you fail this test. For those who fail, they are the ones who live in ghafla and in delusion. In the one surah, Allah speaks about hum ghafilun, Surah Al-Yasin, and in this one, mata'un ghurur, that they are in ghurur, that they are in delusion, meaning both signifies being blind, being unaware, being completely delusional, living in your own fantasy world, not aware of what is the reality. And so, subhanAllah, you don't want to be like that person who wakes up when he enters the qabr. He only becomes alive the day he dies. And so there are many people that are living on autopilot. In fact, the majority of the world is on autopilot. They just do things. If you ask them, why? What is your purpose? They won't be able to give you an answer. They just go with whatever their desires, whatever it is to satisfy one urge after the other. Whereas the person who is walking upright is the one who is conscious. And subhanAllah, both surahs is amazing. When Allah speaks about the successful one in Surah Yasin and Surah Mulk, Allah mentions khashya rahman bil ghayb. Both the name Ar-Rahman is mentioned in Surah Mulk and Surah Yasin, and the quality of khashya. Yes, khashya, we said part of it comes from fear, but khashya is so much more than fear. It is about being conscious, being aware that there are consequences to my life, that my life has a purpose and has a meaning, that I am in a test. The biggest loser is the one that doesn't realize he's part of a test. And so Allah says the one who succeeds in life is the one who has a relationship and a concern with Allah. Both Surah Mulk and Surah Yasin says this is the quality that will give you success. To contemplate and reflect on Allah, that's the one that you cannot see. And then, what are the consequences? You know, subhanAllah, this is not like any other thing. This is big, serious stuff. As you read the Quran, you realize that subhanAllah, what is at stake is big. This is not simple games, and Allah is not playing, making jokes about these things. That in life, that if we are constantly surrounded by dangers and vulnerabilities, and it's only out of Allah's rahmah and His mercy that He keeps them at bay. That if you look at your life, we can remember the times when we're sick. Right, so there were a few times I was very, very sick. But for the rest of the time, we were healthy. We can only remember the few times when things were a bit difficult and constrained. But the rest of our life was easy. So Allah tests us with a bit of hardship and a lot of ease and comfort. And so Allah reminds us that so easily can a blessing be taken away, yet none of them are taken away. Very seldomly does Allah bring hardship upon us. And so do not feel comfortable. And if we neglect Allah and we are heedless and His blessings are used in the wrong way, then we will see the consequences in this dunya. We'll begin to see, you know, our world falling apart. And this COVID-19 is a big reminder to us how quickly Allah can change the status quo. Don't feel secure. Don't feel that you can continue abusing Allah's blessings and there will not be consequences. Then of course, the other side of it, Allah also mentioned like the birds, that even though the birds are so fragile, they don't have anything, they go hungry, Allah makes sure that every single one of them will eat, every one of them will be okay, they'll be safe and sound. So the one who puts himself in Allah's hands, he is like that bird flying. But ya Allah, I don't have to be worried about anything. So long as I do as you commanded me to do, I am safe. I put my trust in you, and that is the success. That is only as far as the dunya is concerned. Then of course there are even major, bigger repercussions in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us in Surah Mulk that life and death was created as a test. In Surah Yasin, Allah mentioned how the planets, how the moon goes through its stages, how the sun goes through its stages. Everyone's time is ticking. Everyone's clock is ticking. And that exam can come to an end at any time. That the trumpet could be blown, meaning for Qiyamah, or Malik al-Maut could visit us at any time. We don't know. We don't know, subhanAllah, when Malik al-Maut is coming. And he will not delay for a moment, not for any single person. Not one extra second will be given. And so, we are reminded about the transition of life. We're reminded about the earth, how it comes back to life after it's dead, meaning that after we're dead, that is not over. There is another account, a bigger account, and that is, of course, the resurrection. And so Allah mentions in both these surahs the consequences of the one who lived a life of ghafla, who lived a life, a heedless life, a meaningless life. They are the ones who, when they wake up on Qiyamah, they are the ones in deep regret. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيدِ. If only we listened, if only we thought, if only we just, you know, used our brains, if only, all those if onlys will come on the day of Qiyamah, and then it will just become more and more difficult. But as for the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their rewards and how they will be saved and how they will not be fear upon them. And of course, the best and perhaps the most beautiful ayah of both these chapters, that ayah, wassalam qawlun min rabbir rahim, that salam, a word from the Lord most merciful. Nothing better than that when you enter Jannah. So as you think about life, its difficulties, its problems, all we're going to go through, believe with certainty we will enter Jannah one day. And as we're in Jannah talking and enjoying ourselves, we will hear that voice of Allah. Nothing can explain what that would be when Allah says salam, may my peace be upon you. You will never ever feel any fear, sadness, hardship. You will never cry. You will never struggle. Now is only enjoyment. That is all you're going to have for all of eternity. That is what this life is about. That is what we struggle for. That is what this test, at the end of this test, it might not be a nice test. No one wants to be tested, but there is a great reward at the end. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that we understand these surahs more than just reciting them. We inculcate them in our life. We make them part of our daily routines. May they be intercessors for us on the day of Qiyamah, and in the Qabr be our companions. May they be a means by which we enter Jannah. May Allah use them as a means to avert all calamities, hardships in our life, in this dunya and in the Akhirah. And may we all be together as a means to help us to enter Jannah. May we be of those that receive the mercy and the peace of Allah in this life and in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Before I end off, we are sharing with you, so you would see that you got the audio, inshallah, and you got the notes, the slides. With it, there's a quiz that we go in, and we'll go through the answers for the quiz, and there are prizes for them. There's also a special survey, and we ask that you fill it in and you share the survey. So even if you don't share the lecture, part of Burhanul Islam Masjid, we have a very good track record of documenting our history here in South Africa. So alhamdulillah, over the last hundreds of years, there's many important events that occurred through the Muslim community. This is a big one. Many generations perhaps will talk about the year that the first time that the mosques were closed for Jumu'ah, that Ramadan was in this manner. We would love to hear from you, your experiences. So this survey is for us to get a much better understanding about how you've gone through this time, and that we can document it for future generations. If there are lessons to be learned, then we can learn from them. If there were mistakes to be made, we can fix them. And also, subhanAllah, it is to remind us about how we hope to go back to normal, so that next time we have these discussions, it is in the masjid again, bi-idhnillah. Jazakallah khair. We appreciate your time and being with us. We continue, inshallah, tomorrow with the conclusion of this year's program of Ramadan. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.